Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. This is the only show of its kind. Our telephone number, we're here to help you. 303-713-8255. 303-713-8255. And in the mountains, you can call us at 970-457-1009. It's all over the newspapers. It's in the reports. It's in the news. Motorcycle accidents, motorcycle crashes, and hit and runs. But today we're going to give a little bit different flavor to motorcycle crashes and motorcycle law in Colorado. It's summertime. It's motorcycle time. You know, and we've written articles. We've written blogs on this. We've written a book on Colorado motorcycle accident and Colorado law on motorcycle accidents. It has a lot of tips in it. But you know, Brad, over the years, we've learned some tricks of the trade with regard to motorcycle accidents, how insurance companies view motorcycle riders and how they think, important, they think how they think jurors view motorcycle accidents, and they think they've got a leg up when a motorcycle accident happens because somebody in the back of their mind or the front of their mind is going to blame the motorcycle rider for part or all of everything.
Well, it starts out with this idea that insurance companies believe they've been able to create this persona about motorcycle riders that they're reckless simply because they're on two wheels rather than four. And because they're on two wheels, well, they must be reckless. When in truth, I'd say the majority of the time, you've got some wild riders, but the majority of the time, motorcycle riders are some of the most conservative and some of the safest riders you're going to have out there. They understand and they've spent the time to learn the rules. They've understood if they're late to the game in riding motorcycles and they've gone through the courses, they've had extensive courses that have helped them that will save their lives if need be, or will give them rules of the road and ways to protect themselves. If they've been riding all their lives, they've learned through the hard knocks that there are safety things you have to do when you're on a motorcycle, and they understand these things. They're more cautious. They're more alert. They're watching what's going on. Now, we can always talk about the motorcyclist who buzzes between cars and goes around and goes off to the side of on the shoulder of the road and goes around you, but those are few and far between when you start looking at the motorcyclists that are out there.
I drive around going to work. I see a couple of crazy ones, but for the most part, they're very conservative. They're out there to enjoy everything. But the point of the matter is, the insurance companies think they're going to win against you if you ride a motorcycle. If you're in a motorcycle accident, they think they're going to win. They think they have a leg up to begin with, and so you need to understand that. You need attorneys that understand that, and you need your own legal game plan. And we have a book on legal game plan, and you can read the book. You can get it for free at our website, championsofthepeople.com. But I'm telling you what, you cannot just guess. You cannot just hope in the hope that you're going to prevail. You must pay attention to the details. You must strategize these things because usually, unfortunately, motorcycle crashes and injuries are very devastating and debilitating. And so you can't just go through this process assuming and hoping. And there are ways to do this. And sometimes it has to be reconstructed by an engineer. Sometimes the details have to be laid out. Sometimes the braking systems on the motorcycles have to be examined. Sometimes the human factors in the whole entire event have to be looked at and analyzed. You can't just say, I was injured, and so you're going to pay me. They're not going to do it. And if they do it, they're not going to do it on a fair compensation basis. So go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can download any of our books there, ebook free. You can get a hard copy if you call our studio right now, or if you call our law firm during the week, we'll send you a hard copy. One person last week wanted all of our books. We sent them to him. So we have a book out on Colorado motorcycle accidents and motorcycle law and how the law works. And of course, we can't put in the book every trick of the insurance companies and how they do it. But behind the scenes, you have to understand they got you in your crosshairs, and they're going to try to beat you. And they think they can, and they think they've got a leg up and an advantage right from the very beginning. All right, join us live right now is Kenny from Kiowa. Good morning, Kenny. What can we do for you?
I talked to you guys before on my problem with State Farm Insurance, and now I got a major problem that came up with them.
What's up?
On July 10th, I went in to pay my insurance on four vehicles, and I wrote him a check for $1,748.66 for all my vehicles. And after they finished processing it, I happened to talk to the gal. They told me that I could put my truck, my 08 Dodge truck, in a limbo status like my 86 GMC is, to where I call them on the phone and they'll put insurance on it for one day or a week or whatever. But after they processed my check, we talked about it, and I asked her how much it would cost me if I put my truck into that status. They said instead of paying $909, you could end up paying only $141. And I says, let's do it.
Right.
Let's cancel the transaction you just did, and I'll write you a check for the other amount. And she says, well, we can't cancel the transaction. And anyhow, what happened is that State Farm, I found out yesterday, State Farm, or my agent, they took and they canceled my insurance completely on my truck, and they said, we're going to send you a refund. I've had insurance on my truck since the day I bought it with State Farm.
Right.
And my problem is that they're canceling. I said, we're going to send you a check, and I'm still waiting on the check refund. And I feel that what they did is fraud because they canceled my insurance without my agreement to do it. There was no reason to cancel it. All they had to do was put my truck in the same limbo status as my 86 GMC. And they said they would do that, and they didn't do it. They did something, and they canceled my insurance effective July 11th.
Did they cancel all of your insurance or just part of your insurance? What is it?
Just on the Dodge truck.
And when you say they canceled it on the Dodge truck, did they cancel the comprehensive and collision coverage, or by virtue of your other cars and the insurance you have with them, are you still covered when you're driving the truck?
The only time I have insurance on it when I drive it is if I call them on the phone and tell them I want to have insurance on it. And they said they would put coverage on it when I call them.
What they're doing is they're doing a daily coverage. You can call up and say I want coverage today, but and they'll put it on.
They'll put it on today and they'll cancel it when I call them back in the evening.
So you can go out on a ride with your vehicle. It's like your one. It sounds like it's a collector's vehicle, the 85. You've got it almost in collector's status. So
if I wanted to drive the truck, say I wanted to drive it to church on Sunday.
Right.
I would call them and tell them I want insurance for Sunday, and they'll put it on Sunday, and they'll cancel it Sunday night, and I'll park my truck back in my barn.
Do they give you a policy for that?
It's a standard policy that they have on me. I carry, I talked to you guys before, carry the maximum amount of insurance that I can afford.
Yeah, you did say that.
Well, Kenny, I'd really like to see this policy, because here's the thing. Insurance policies, motor vehicle insurance policies, have a number of different types of coverage. And, obviously we talk about liability coverage, where you have liability for if you hurt somebody else. You have med pay for your own. You have uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage. You have coverage that follows you. If I have insurance coverage right now. If I go drive another vehicle that's not mine, I've still got coverage.
Well, see, what they took and did is I talked to Neil Wilson, my agent in Elizabeth, on Friday, and he says State Farm is going to cancel your insurance coverage on your Dodge in full. They will be sending you a refund check. And originally they were going to take and they were going to keep comprehensive on it, and they were going to take and suspend everything else. But they sent me a letter, and that's what bothers me, is they sent me a letter on my Dodge truck when I wanted to put it in this limo policy, but they never ever bothered to do that when I had my 86 GMC.
Yeah, right. Okay, Kenny, hang with us. We got a break coming up. We're gonna talk to you some more on this, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, sure, you bet. Thanks for the call. 303-713-8255. We're here to serve you, Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, but right here on this radio station, all of our radio stations, all of our simulcasts, we're here for you because we are your champions of the people. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you. Any question on any legal subject, 303-713-8255. 8255. Welcome to all of our listeners. Go to our website if you have any questions or need any information. And if you can't get us here on the show, you can call us during the week. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We've got videos there. We've got audio lessons. We've got buttons you can hit on what you need to know before the first phone call with the insurance adjusters. And we have all of our free books there as well. You can download them or get a hard copy. No problem. We were talking about motorcycle accidents this morning. And I want to say one other point on that is motorcycle accidents, you just need to understand, and I don't think many people understand this, that the insurance companies, once you've had an accident and you're going to make a claim, they have their own agenda against you. And it is a strong agenda. And they think they can beat you and win. And that's what you need to know. You need a legal game plan. Simple as that. Right before the break, we were talking to Kenny. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning.
Okay, so... we're talking about temporary insurance, and you want to, you know, you can make a call. So we got some things to talk about because, you know, obviously insurance companies can do it. Sometimes they issue a policy for a day, a week, whatever, and then it depends on the terms of the policy. But did you have full coverage? I mean, when you say you have this temporary policy, you can call and put the coverage on there. Is it full coverage? Is it collision? Is it liability? Is it everything?
100% full coverage. And I was carrying on three vehicles, $1 million across the board.
Right.
On all three of them.
Okay, so and you don't know any reason why they canceled you? They're going to cancel you? They just don't?
I have no idea other than the fact that they're losing $760 by me putting my Dodge into this limbo status, the same as my 86 GMC.
How long you been with State Farm?
10 years.
Okay, Kenny, here's the first thing. It's kind of like what they call a weekend cruiser policy is what I understand you're on. And it's one of those where they do say they'll allow you to add and drop a car as needed on your policy. First thing I would like you to do, even with your older car, you said you have one that's a 1985?
86.
With your 86 car, when you're going to drive it and you decide and you call in for coverage, you try to do that by computer or make sure you have some way to verify it.
Not a phone call.
Do it by computer. You can go online and you can put it on. You can put the coverage online. And the reason I'm saying that is because you don't want to be in a situation where you say you called at 8 o'clock in the morning and you got a person at the office and they said, yes, you're okay. We understand you're covered today. And obviously they're going to send you a bill for that. And then when you get in an accident later on in the day, they look and say, well, you were an uninsured driver on that car because we didn't get that call or that call didn't come through or the person who took the call didn't properly record it.
That's what concerns me is their honesty in saying they put the insurance on and they did or they didn't.
Right. Well, and so, you know, most of these things are set up now that you can do it by phone or through by going online. And either set it up so you can do it by going online, either through your phone, through text, and make sure it says you can put it. You can get the coverage back in place by simply sending a text, and maybe you need a confirmation back, or you can get online, you can do it, and then do that and save the text, download the online that you've sent out, so you've got protection and you know you've got the coverage. Look, first of all.
You know, and I approach this in my mind, I divide it in two categories. You got the practical solution and you got the legal situation. So legally, you know, they cancel you. I think without looking at your contract, I think they probably have the right to cancel you. That doesn't mean it's right. I think they have the legal right to do it. They have the legal right not to even write the temporary insurance. But as a practical matter, when you call and you want coverage, and if they're going to write the policy, and if they're going to give you a temporary policy, 1 day to 20 days or whatever, and a lot of people use these temporary policies to cover a kid coming home from college, they want to add something, they want to do a temporary policy. So it fits a lot of needs. But the point of the matter is you need to be able to prove that you asked for insurance, because I can't tell you how many times we sit with a client and they say, well, I called him, I talked to him, I told the agent, and they deny it. No, Kenny never called me. No, he didn't call me. He didn't say that. He didn't say he wanted coverage on this date, and we don't show coverage. So the practical part of it is you got to have a paper proof trail, email, whatever, to prove it and get confirmation from them. That's the practical side. The legal side
I have with that is that I'm not computer literate, so I usually do it over the phone. I call them and I tell them. They say, okay, you got coverage.
I see.
Okay. And Kenny, I understand that. The best I can do is tell you try to have somebody there or talk to the person, say, what's your name? Make sure now I'm confirming in writing, or you say, I'm putting a note down now that I called you and at this time and to confirm my coverage, because they do have them set up so you can call in and get the coverage. I mean, the weekend cruiser, I think it's set up for a guy like you. You've got five cars, it sounds like, at least five cars. You can't drive five at one time. There are some cars you want just coverage for when you're driving it and nothing else. There's no reason for you to be paying a premium for a car that's sitting there. Your 86 probably can come under a collector car limited use policy if you wanted to do that, but you have to decide that. But here's the thing. I'm concerned about the fact that you paid the premium, and then all of a sudden you get a notice saying they've dropped you, and they canceled the policy without giving you immediate notice that what we've done is we've switched you over.
And see what they took and did.
All right.
Is I wrote the check on the 10th, they cashed it on the 11th, and then they took on the 11th, and they give me this cancellation notice on my Dodge truck.
Yeah, and do you even have the money back?
No, they haven't sent me a check yet.
And then to get the weekend cruiser policy or the daily policy or the call-in policy, whatever we want to call it, now they want another $100 and some bucks, $141.
That's what I would have to pay them, but they owe me back like $760.
Okay, well you got a practical problem. Push comes to shove, you've got a legal issue, because surely they're going to give you the money back. But the technical legal point is, yes, they can issue temporary insurance, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute. There's a lot of needs that does fulfill, even for your need, that you want to just do it this time, this one day, this 2 days. Kids coming back from college, neighbors coming in, relatives coming in, you're going to give them your car, you're going to lend your car to them. That's a whole people can buy temporary insurance for that, and you want a separate policy for that usually. But back to your situation, they have the legal right to do it. You probably should consider just getting rid of them.
Kenny, here's something I would do. Call your agent, though, and tell your agent that here's what you want. I would say to the agent to begin with, and I think Gary's right about a lot of the stuff he's talking about, but I think I'd tell him, look, you're saying you're sending me back the $700 or whatever it is. I gave you $1,748, and that was to include my Dodge truck. And now you're saying you're canceling that and putting me on a different policy, because they're canceling it to put you on a different policy, and they're saying that's the only way they can do it. But what they should do is have you on that other policy, and although they say now they want the $141, I think I'd be looking at them saying, look, I'll send you the $141 when I get my $700 back, and I'll send you the $141 out of the $700. In the meantime, I want my coverage. And I better be full, and I better have my coverage on my 86 Dodge until such time as I get my money back and I get it to be able to pay for my weekend cruiser policy.
Yeah, my Dodge is a 2008, my 86 okay. GMC.
Okay. So you know, I guess that's what I think I'd be doing is telling them I better have continuous coverage, not coverage contingent on sending you my premium money.
Well, I wanted to see if there's a chance that you guys would send them a nasty letter and tell them that if they don't do this properly, that you're going to file suit on them.
Well, we'll word it appropriately, but we'll be glad to help you for sure, Kenny.
Let us call you off the air and get all the details and get all the paperwork, because I'd like to see all the paperwork.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, Kenny. I think we have your information, but give it to Kevin anyway, and we'll be glad to help you.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate all your calls, 303-713-8255. We were talking about motorcycles accidents today. It's kind of our theme on this show. And, you know, we have a law in Colorado that you do not have to wear your helmet unless you're a certain age, 17, and under, you've got to wear a helmet. But let's say you don't have your helmet. Let's say you elect and choose not to do that. And then you have the accident, and the insurance company brings into the case, and they will, and their lawyers will, that you weren't wearing your helmet. And your response is, I don't have to wear my helmet. The law says I don't have to wear my helmet. And they don't care. Because how many of you people thinking right at home, right now, if you were a juror in a case and the person didn't wear their helmet, and well, you don't have to, but they didn't, how many people would be thinking, well, I kind of got feelings against that situation. You know, I kind of got feelings against that. And I think they should be wearing their helmet anyway, because I think it's common sense. And you see how the law works? The statute says you don't have to, but the insurance companies count on the jurors, and it may be right.
Well,
and the jurors saying, no, I think you should be wearing your helmet.
You know, Gary, we got to go back to some basics on this, too, that people have to recognize. All of you sitting there have to understand that we start in life right now with telling our three-year-old children when they're getting on their tricycle, they got to have a helmet. We tell them when they're on their bike, they have to have a helmet. We tell them whenever they're doing, they need a helmet. Protective headgear is being worn everywhere, and all our children have to wear it. Have to, whenever they're doing activities.
Right.
You know, so when we're looking at that, you've got to start thinking about the attitude that we've already placed in people and the people have about wearing protective headgear.
Right. And you say, I don't have to. That statute says I don't have to, but, and maybe you don't have to legally, but common sense wise, is that jury going to sit there and say, well, I think you should have been wearing a helmet. And if you've been wearing your helmet, these doctors say your injuries wouldn't be this way. They would be another way. Bell and Pollock, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Call us right here, 303-713-8255. We'll be right back. Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We brought this show to you for years to help you, help the community. We'll answer your question on any legal subject. It doesn't matter. It could be landlord-tenant. It could be estates. It could be property disputes. It could be condemnation. It could be divorce. It could be restraining orders. It can be anything. Just give us a call. We'll solve your problem, answer your questions. 303-713-8255. We got lines open. We'll be glad to take your call. Join us live is Eric from Catlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. What's cooking?
I got a couple specials run by. Now we're on our second week of these specials, but you can get them on request down the road. Don't worry about that. Our breakfast special is going to be our veggie breakfast burrito. Now we're going to take a 10-inch flour tortilla. We're going to load that up with some scrambled eggs, some sauteed onions, mushrooms, bell peppers, diced tomatoes, a couple of scrambled eggs in there, put some griddled brown hash browns on the side. You can get our scratch-made red or green chili on the side of that or smother it on top if you like. I prefer the green, just to let you know. And then our lunch special is going to be the veggie quesadilla. Again, that's on 2 10-inch flour tortillas. We're going to put cream cheese, cheddar, jack cheese, parmesan, mushrooms, onions, peppers, black olives, diced tomatoes, sunflower seeds, hatch green chilies, the whole works on that. You can get lettuce, tomato, guacamole on the side with that as well. That's our lunch special for one more week. And don't forget, on Mondays and Fridays, we're still doing it on Mondays and Fridays from 11 to 2. It's all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all-you-can-eat. It's only $8.49. It actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. Speaking of alcohol, we do have Carafes and Mimosas. They're only $12.50. Don't have the umbrellas up. Not a whole lot I can do about that, guys. I'm sorry, but the mimosas are flowing, and the TVs are on. We're watching spring training, and we're watching opening day training for a lot of the teams today. So come on down to Catlin's and check us out.
Sounds pretty good, Eric. What do you got as far as some really good waffles down there?
We do waffles. We have Belgian waffles. We do our batter made from scratch, just like we do our pancake batter. We do a banana pecan waffle. You can do that with real maple syrup. And, again, our pancakes are scratch made. They're buttermilk pancakes. You can get raspberry, blueberry, bananas. We do a really good bananas foster's pancake. We got cinnamon rolls. We griddle those to a golden brown. They're super sweet. We make the icing as well right here on the premises. So tons of things to check out, tons of good things to come and see. Please come on down and check us out if you haven't done it already.
Okay, Eric, where are you located?
We are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That's the Glendale Shopping Center, guys.
All right, thanks a lot,
buddy. Thank you.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can call us right now, 303-713-8255. We're here to answer your questions. And don't forget about the show that follows our show, the Consumer Real Estate Show, Barry and Larry, the emphasis on consumer. They're on the side of the consumer. We're on the side of people. Champions are the people. People need help. You got to fight these fights. We were talking about motorcycle law, and we were talking about helmets. And that's an interesting, fascinating area of the law. The statute says if you're 18 or older, you do not have to wear a helmet. There's a case, Brad Lawrence versus Taylor. We were talking about it during the break about the fact the Court of Appeals ruled you have a motorcycle case. They want to get it into evidence. Big fight on evidentiary fight on. Is the jury going to hear that he or she was not wearing their motorcycle helmet, or is that excluded from evidence? And if it's excluded, I got some interesting perspectives on that. What do you think?
Well, we go back when we start talking about these type of cases is when you start fighting whether or not they can bring up the fact that you weren't wearing a helmet as a defense and what it means is we start about saying, is there a legal duty to wear a helmet? And if there's no legal duty to wear a helmet, then should you have to, should it be something the defendant can use to say your damages should be lessened or you should get less money because you weren't wearing a helmet? And in Colorado, we've got laws that say you don't have to wear a helmet. That's not part of the protective gear. And therefore, in a comparative negligence setting, where we're talking comparative negligence, whether or not the defense can get an instruction on comparative negligence saying you were negligent for not wearing a helmet, you're more than likely going to be able to keep that out of evidence. It's going to be not admissible. It's not going to be able to show that the driver was negligent, nor that the driver failed to mitigate their damages because they were not negligent because they don't have a duty to wear them.
Right. Yeah. And all of you listening, put on your juror hat this morning. You're a juror in a case. You're listening to a motorcycle accident case, horrific injuries. And you keep wondering to yourself, I wonder if this person was wearing a helmet. I wonder about that. And under our fabulous system now, jurors can ask questions, write down questions before the witness gets off the stand. And a lot of times in our motorcycle cases, the jurors ask, they write down a question, was she wearing a helmet? We go up to the bench, and the judge says, I'm not going to be able to ask. So the judge says to the juror, I'm not going to be able to have that question asked because the judge previously has already excluded the evidence of this person not wearing a helmet. So can't get into it. And then so the jurors still have the question in the back of your mind. And so what do you do as a juror with that information? What do you do? Do you default in your mind to the fact that they weren't wearing a helmet? Do you default to the fact, well, I don't think they were, so I don't think they would have been as injured, when it's excluded and nobody can hear it anyway? Very fascinating area of the law. Jim from Lakewood is joining us right now. Good morning, Jim. What can we do for you?
Good morning.
What can we do?
I'm calling about I have a family member who, speaking of helmets, when you get a certain age, maybe you should wear them in the house. The family member fell in the hall.
Uh-oh.
In his hall. Then he fell in the bathroom and ended up with a brain bleed.
My gosh, okay.
I had gotten him on the Medicare Advantage through Kaiser.
Right.
And found out that he had not paid his premiums. And so when I took him in to get him some help, they said, first of all, that he's no longer a member because he didn't pay his premiums. But now
right.
He ended up in the hospital in intensive care with a brain bleed. And
I'm sorry.
He's doing okay, but this is what I'm wondering about is how to deal with it because I'm not real sure. I presume he's got Medicare because that's how he got the Medicare Advantage. But other than that, he doesn't have any insurance.
Right.
And I know that the clock ticks in the hospital, so I'm not responsible for him. He's an adult, but he does have some cognition problems. I think that's what they're finding out. I'm kind of wondering how to proceed because eventually they're going to be asking for money.
Right. Have they sent you a bill? Anybody a bill? Sent him a bill?
No. Still in the hospital.
When did this happen?
This happened. He got hurt early last week, and I found out about it on Wednesday. I got him in the hospital on Wednesday.
Okay, well, yeah, so you didn't have the Medicare Advantage with Kaiser, but you think he has Medicare?
Well, and this is a person that basically tries to live off the grid, if you get my...
Right, right.
And I don't know whether that's a choice or whether, you know, he was from Vietnam and stuff like that, and he seemed to be different when he came back.
Right.
Anyway, I presume that he's got the Medicare because... he did have the active Medicare with Kaiser. He did have a card, but when I went through the card, when I had him submit the card, I was told at Medicare, at Kaiser, that he was no longer a member. I have to get assigned permission for Kaiser to talk to me, but I did get that much from him.
All right. What hospital is he in?
St. Luke's. Oh, I'm sorry, St. Anthony's.
St. Anthony's. And as far as when you said you took him, did you take him in or did you call an ambulance?
I took him in.
And when,
actually, being in Lakewood, the new St. Anthony's is, you know, it's a pretty easy trip from Kaiser to St. Anthony's. It's just straight down Alameda.
All right. Well, when you found him, it sounds like you found him, that he had fallen, or you know,
he answered the door. He was ambulatory, but I went over for some other purpose. When he answered the door, he said he was having trouble.
Okay, so then you load him in the car and said, let's go down to the emergency room.
Well, he got in the car himself.
Okay, and said, let's go down to the emergency room. He got down there, and they admitted him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and when the admission was all filled out, do you remember, did he go through the normal admission where they fill out all the forms and they get all the information?
They came around to him, and he was conscious and verbal, but they had IVs and stuff in him, so basically he was kind of unable to sign his name, so the admissions person just took it verbally with me as a witness.
How long ago did this happen?
This was Wednesday.
He's over 65 then?
Yes, he is.
All right, and when he's taken down there, they admitted him after he filled out all the forms. They ran the information on him. They admitted him, right?
No, they admitted him right away.
Okay.
And they did all of this in the room. I will say that about Kaiser and St. Anthony's. When I brought him in, his condition was such that we did get seen.
All right,
very quickly by both.
So, and because if he had a brain bleed, there might have been an emergency situation, emergency status.
Yes.
Is he now stable? Do they have him in stable condition?
That's the information I'm getting from the hospital, yes.
And have they talked about a discharge date?
They're talking about inpatient rehab.
Okay, so he could be there for a while.
Yes.
All right. And the reason I'm asking these questions is because without knowing specifically anything more, you didn't sign any papers, did you?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay.
He's an adult. There's not a court order. I'm not his conservator or anything.
Hey, right. Jim, we got to take a break. Can you hang with us? Because
yes,
we got a couple of other things to tell you that I think is going to be an eye-opener to you, okay?
Very good.
All right, so we appreciate your call. Stick with us. We'll catch you on the other side of the break. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. You know that. 303-713-8255. We've got a line open. We'll be glad to talk to you. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We have offices in Denver. We have offices in Greenwood Village and Steamboat Springs. We do cases all over the state of Colorado and have for years. Right before the break, we were talking to Jim. Jim, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He had a member fall and get a brain bleed and then went to the hospital. He's still in the hospital now. What is the relationship of this person to you?
Brother.
Brother, okay. All right, here's my worry. I don't think it's a worry. I'm gonna give you some law, and then we're going to give you some practical tips. Number one, the practical tips is you're not going to sign any document. Number one, you're not, and we already said that. Number two, there's a family purpose statute in Colorado. This is a brutal surprise to many people because maybe the wife goes, an example, the wife goes into a hospital, no insurance, and then they sue the husband for the wife's medical bills. And under the family purpose doctrine, debt collectors do this all the time. And then the spouse always says, well, wait a minute, it wasn't my medical bill. I didn't do that. So the family purpose doctrine, it deals with your family. Looking at the statute, it seems to be restricted to husband and wife and children. If your children had medical bills, if your wife had medical bills, and there's no insurance or there's a question on coverage and they want to collect the medical bills, then they always use the family purpose doctrine. So your brother here is sort of in a gray area, or maybe not a member of the family, but I would worry about that. So one of the, and Brad's going to give you his take in a minute, but one of the practical ways to do this is to understand. I don't think Brad and I were talking about during the break, we don't think that they would be having your brother there for that length of time with that amount of intensive service without them feeling comfortable that they're going to get paid or if there's some kind of insurance. And, Brad, your take.
First of all, that statute is 14-6-110, and it is pretty much basically limited to the immediate family of husband, wife, and children. So I don't think you're going to be in trouble there.
Okay.
Jim. Then what we start talking about is, you know, St. Luke's seems to be giving this care. St. Anthony seems to be giving this care, and they're giving it without having talked to you about how anything's going to get paid. Your brother would have been eligible for at least the premium-free Part A of Medicare once he hit age 65.
Okay.
And assuming he applied. And let me tell you, St. Anthony's could have moved him to a number of different places if he didn't have money or if he didn't have a way to pay for this. Normally, they'd send him either down to Denver General or, you know, they could have sent him to the VA because it sounds like your brother is an ex-veteran.
Yes, he is.
Or is a veteran. So there's other places he could have gotten medical care. And that, you know, when they come in on an emergency basis, and although your brother wasn't brought in through an ambulance, he did come in on an emergency basis, a brain bleed is emergency basis. And I'm sure when he was sitting there and they were trying to fill out the forms, they recognized that and probably got him back to the ER pretty quick, didn't they?
Exactly.
Okay, so they got him back there pretty quick, and they took care of him. But once he's stable, and that's a duty all the hospitals have and all the ERs have. They've got to do that here in Colorado. But once he got stable, they don't have to keep him. They can move him to other places.
Okay.
And instead of moving him, they're talking about continuing with the inpatient care, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay, in the rehab. So that pretty much tells me they have a source of payment. Now, the question comes up is whether or not that source of payment pays everything,
right?
Or whether there's going to be money left over. And you said your brother, you went over to his house to get him. Does he have his own individual assets?
He got a disability for lead poisoning, working in a gun shop.
Right, right.
Which kind of added to the Vietnam stuff. And
right.
Also the mindset why you'd work in a gun shop. But anyway, and then when he turned 65, I really don't know what his resources is. Like I told you, he's very secretive and lives off the grid. And
does he own the house? Do you know that?
No. The house is owned by a trust. He's one of the beneficiaries on the trust, but he certainly isn't the only one.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, obviously they're going to look to his assets first, but when you said he's got a disability, and that's another one. Is he on Social Security disability? Do you know if he gets Social Security payments?
To be honest with you, I don't. When I ask those kind of questions, that, you know, the kind of evasive answers that you get from some folks.
Right, just kind of blows it off. So, you know, Brad and I feel pretty comfortable that you're not going to be subject to liability under the family purpose statute. It usually deals with husbands and wives. And that's a whole interesting area of the law. I mean, if the husband is going to be held responsible for the wife's medical bills, can you get a divorce, et cetera, et cetera, and beat it? Insurance does it, but usually have some kind of deductible or copay. But back to you, we feel comfortable in the family purpose doctrine that you're not going to be responsible there. But, Jim,
yes,
if you get letters, demands, credit people, you know, saying you're responsible for this, you're going to give us a call, and we're not through with talking to you, but you're going to give us a call because that needs to be stopped immediately, okay?
Okay.
And we'll help you do that because you need to put them in their place to begin with on that side of the transaction. Then back to the insurance coverage, Brad, you know, covered VA benefits. I just feel, without seeing any of the documents, that it's I feel very strongly that they wouldn't have him still there. As Brad said, they could transfer him. It goes from an emergency situation to a maintenance and stabilizing situation. And so they say, we're going to discharge you here and put you over from place X to place B, and there, you know, have a nice day. I just feel that's the case. But I also feel it's the case that when they're looking for money and they come knocking on doors, they're going to probably knock on your door.
Now, you've been to see your brother, right?
Yes. I was the one that took
right.
him up there, and I have been in, and once he got stabilized and in intensive care and working on him, and I have been in regular contact with the caregivers, and I figured that I need to let them do what they do.
Is your brother mentally competent right now to make his own decisions?
That's iffy.
Okay, well, have they asked to open up any kind of a legal proceeding?
No, they haven't.
For mental competency. So they're following his orders. I mean, they're doing it based on your brother's agreement for the care and your brother's agreement for the rehab and for that kind of stuff. I mean, nobody's going out getting orders saying he has to be committed. Nobody's going out and getting order for a 72-hour hold. Nobody's going suggesting any of that.
No. The thing was discussed, is if you probably are getting, he kind of lives in a fantasy world.
Right.
But he still, he basically at least talks a good game. Just doesn't do follow-up.
Right.
Okay. But because he's doing this, this tells him that he's approving the care. You're not. He's responsible for the care. They're going to look to him and his resources for the bill. And they're going to look to all the resources available, which could be Medicare, could be Social Security. Like I said, I'm surprised if they were having any problems, really, they haven't shipped them over to Denver General or over to the VA.
So our take for you, Jim, this morning,
okay.
Yeah, we think you're okay. I also think in my gut that you're going to be contacted by somebody sometime. And when that happens, if it does happen, I hope it doesn't, but if it does, you're going to call us, okay? We're going to help you because we think we can, and so don't guess at it, and don't try to go through this thing. We'll just give you some help, and we so much appreciate your call.
Hey, I ask one thing?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I had mentioned there was a little trust of which he's one of the beneficiaries.
You did.
I'm the trustee.
All right, we're about to the end of our show, Jim, but that was the next subject I was going to get in because they're going to go looking for assets, okay?
Yeah, trust is one.
And that has to be analyzed. So let me put you on hold. Give Kevin your information, all right?
I certainly will. Thank you.
We'll talk to
you. Jim, thank you for calling us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, radio lives here for you, 303-713-8255. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. We have 5 books published. They're all for you. Our 2 most recent books, Legal Game Plan, which you need, and Colorado Motorcycle Accident Law, the definitive guideline. Because we are your champions of the people. We didn't have no internet, but man, I never will forget the way the moonlight shined upon her head.